Hi, Elise Castle.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
So we're going to try to go AC-less. It's not that hot out.
No, Mike's being very dramatic.
Listen, I am always warmer than the weather calls for. I think there's actually something wrong with me.
Yeah, well.
Duh. So today we're talking about...
Hashtag get Mike to a doctor.
Today we're talking about Attack of the 5'10" Woman.
Where I feel personally attacked by this title. I feel like it's making me sound like a monster. Because I am a 5'10" woman.
Yes, and you're often attacking.
Who?
I don't know. This originally aired June 18th, 2000. This is written by Cindy Chupac. I still think I'm probably saying her name wrong.
Well, Cindy has issues with my height, so I don't care.
She wrote 16 episodes of Sex and the City. I think she has like 2 Emmy Awards. I think that she won as a producing part of the production company of this, and I think that she won for Modern Family, too. Directed by Pam Thomas.
Pam.
Yeah, she directs the next episode, too. She doesn't have a ton of credits, so I don't know what her deal is. DVD recap. Are there women whose sole purpose is to make other women feel bad about themselves? A marriage announcement brings bad news for Carrie, who goes on to expose more than her emotions to her rival. Charlotte, who has avoided all kinds of exposure at any cost, opens up at a day spa, while Samantha reaches out for more than just a massage. At home, Miranda fights for her own right to life with a righteous housekeeper. That's a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
So we start out at Sunday brunch.
And they say there is very few things. Does she say this New Yorker loves as much as Sunday brunch? Because if that's the case, I've lost some respect for Carrie.
Well, here's the thing. Brunch is amazing unless you wait tables. And then
really?
Brunch, I think that I used to, even when I first moved to the city, I loved brunch.
Well, I mean, I only liked brunch at this one place in Queens we would go to where it was $10. For any entree, and with that entree for $10, you got unlimited Bloody Marys or mimosas, which came in large plastic tumblers.
Yeah, when
this place does no longer exist.
That is very. There are still unlimited drink brunch situations. They are few and far between. They used to be everywhere.
Right.
When I first moved to New York, that was just like a standard
bottomless
thing.
Bottomless brunch.
Yeah, there was a place we'd go to on Second Avenue that I think was maybe called Second. And that's how they literally would put a bottle of not champagne, but a bottle of sparkling wine on the table and a little thing of orange juice. And when you were finished with that bottle, they would take the empty bottle away and put another one in front of you. They still exist. Usually there's like a time limit on it now. Like there's like a 90-minute max.
Yeah.
And it's usually like $25 extra. I actually do not think unlimited like drinks at brunch is a good idea.
No.
But yeah, that was definitely part of the appeal. And yeah, I used to love brunch. I find brunch loathsome at this point. It is the worst shift to work. Also, this is just a me personal thing because I can't have gluten. Sorry, it's so boring to bring up. But anytime anyone is like, there's this brunch place you should go, I always want to say, I can't eat the thing you're going to tell me about. Because it's always like a pancake or a waffle or something like that. So yeah, I do not enjoy brunch anymore. But I try to remember how brunch used to feel.
Wow, this just got really deep. I was just going to say I think it's overpriced eggs. But
well, that is also true. Overpriced pretty much everything.
And Sunday is the one day a week you get the single woman sports pages, the New York Times wedding section.
I don't know a single woman who reads the wedding section of the New York Times.
Well, maybe in 2000.
Maybe.
I think it was a huge thing.
Was it?
I just said maybe it was a huge thing. And I don't know. In 2000, I was like a freshman in Metro Detroit High School. So I wasn't really reading.
I just
the
think
New
it's
York
funny.
Times.
I just think it's a. It's a yeah, I wonder
but yes,
if that's
I do
true.
Because, you know, it was. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. So you were reading newspapers. The Sunday Times is a big thing. You're reading the Sunday Times. And as a single woman, that was probably a part that you looked at. You know, like the wedding section. I know it's a big thing and it's an actual thing. And I feel like this whole thing, what I got out of it was, because they're reading the Sunday Times wedding section. And hold on, let's stop because there's a part we missed. Carrie... when the waiter is coming over to drop off their drinks, cannot get a drink quick enough. Like, he is like trying to set the drinks down and she's looking at him like, am I going to get one of those? And then she just grabs it out of his hand. It's pretty insane. So anyway, yes, the girls are going through the Sunday New York Times wedding section and they bring up the Roman numeral group.
You know who those women marry? The Roman numeral guys. Charles Duffy Anderson IV. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, this is all very comparable to looking at Facebook and seeing like, oh, my ex just got married, or, you know, and that's what happens when Charlotte's flipping through and notices a half page spread of Big and Natasha and their wedding.
It's mentioned that the oldest woman getting married is 27.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. No, nothing to see. Oh, you're such a bad liar.
And that's sort of like a TV thing. I feel like actors always play bad lying as badly as possible.
Right.
Like, there's clearly something that they're going to look at here. And it's a big spread on Big and Natasha, and Carrie takes it pretty well.
Yeah.
I was prepared for this, guys. They had an engagement party at the Plaza.
Yeah, so that not a whole lot happens at brunch. But we do then follow Carrie home,
mm-hmm.
where Charlotte basically convinces her to kind of pull the Band-Aid off. Like,
right.
If we don't read it now, you're going to read it later and you're going to cry. It's going to be messy. Let's just read it now. I have to say, I really like that they gave this scene to Charlotte.
Yeah, I thought it was nice.
It feels like it easily could have been a Miranda scene. Mm-hmm. But I like that it's Charlotte who's there. They read the announcement and they they do that thing you would do, which is just kind of tear it apart.
Right, and Carrie's
which is
like...
fine. Like, that's just what you would do as a friend.
Carrie's like, this... wedding, as they're describing the wedding, she's saying, this wedding has Natasha all over it. There's no Big until...
And as she walked down the aisle, a saxophone played When a Man Loves a Woman. Well, that's tacky. No, that's Big.
And all of this is basically just bringing out Carrie's insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And that clearly is going to be the focus of this episode, is what brings out her insecurities. We don't get into it with all the women. I don't know that Samantha has any insecurities.
I think she has a ton of insecurities.
Well, then she hides it well, at least.
Yeah.
But we're definitely getting that this is the situation where all of Carrie's insecurities are coming out. So we get to Miranda's, and we have the introduction of Magda.
Magda, played by Lynn Cohen.
Lynn Cohen. Who I just always think it's funny that she's also was in the Hunger Games movies and played Mags. So she has like a Mag connection here.
Full circle Effie Trinket.
There we go. But she's great. I love Lynn Cohen. She's a terrific actress. And I don't know that it spoils anything to say that she'll be with the series for a while.
Like, oh, great.
She becomes a mainstay of the series. And I like her a lot. She pulls out a tiny mug for Miranda to have her coffee
in. And she's like, no. I drink it in my class of 1990 law school mug.
Yeah. That mug is so tiny. Why does she even have those mugs?
It's like, I don't know.
And we're just sort of setting up that Magda's kind of asserting herself a little bit.
You know what, though? I have friends who have a cleaning lady. Well, I have a few friends with cleaning ladies, but I don't know why I felt the need to tell you that. I have a friend who has a cleaning lady who often makes similar comments, and they listen to this, and never bad comments, but just like walked into their house during Christmas and was like, ooh, it's so nice in here, like Bloomingdale's. And then, but then one day she like moved the nativity and kind of like put the baby Jesus in a different spot. And yeah, she does assert herself in certain situations.
Well, and one of my notes is just, let's talk about cleaning ladies. Because I get that. I know people that have someone like that comes and cleans their apartment once a week or once every other
week.
Right,
yeah. With them, I think it's like once or twice a month.
Now, are we establishing that Magda's there like
every day? Like a housekeeper?
Right, that's not really.
She doesn't need that.
She has like an on service, house. It's very weird. I don't fully get the setup of this. But
right,
that's not
and
really
I know
a cleaning
that, like.
Lady.
Yeah, I mean, and Miranda makes the comment of she doesn't want to be there when Magda's there because she feels like then she should be cleaning her apartment, but then, which a lot of people do, but that's for the cleaning lady that comes for 2 hours once every other week.
Right.
So it's just Miranda decided she's never going to be home for this full-time housekeeper she's hired.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation. We get to Miranda and Carrie trying on clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying on clothes for a particular reason or she's just shopping?
Yeah, I think Carrie is just shopping.
Okay.
Probably feels this is how Carrie copes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then she appears.
Natasha. Natasha's there. Room, yeah. The attack of the 5'10" woman.
Yeah, Miranda sees her first and kind of tries to get Carrie to not come out of the dressing room.
I'll get it for you. Just hand it out to me. There's no need for you to come out.
Carrie? When has Miranda seen Natasha? I was wondering that because I know she would have seen her, a picture of her, but not good enough to be like, immediately, that's Natasha.
Well, I don't know that she recognized. I feel like there's a moment that Cynthia Nixon does take a moment of kind of like, is that who I think it is?
Okay.
But I think, yeah, I think that the recognition comes. I think it's an, I mean, I think that we also, maybe she saw her somewhere else too.
Right.
Like,
no, I get it. I'm sure like also Carrie has, you know, showed it, right. Showed them her many a time. So Carrie comes out and sees her. Natasha's looking for a dress for the...
Yeah, I need something for this Women in the Arts luncheon. I helped organize them on the steering committee, so...
Oh, really? I'm a member. Because, you know, I write. So I am a woman in the arts. I go to that lunch every year.
And it just is the one of those moments with Carrie where I get that this is just a woman that makes her... Part of me is like, you look great in your bra and underwear. Like, I don't know. Like, show her the body you got. Right. Don't feel badly about yourself. But that's just not how it works. I get that that's not how it works.
Right.
That once again, Sarah Jessica Parker does that thing where she sort of becomes smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just see her insecurities. And it all brings us to then her phone conversation with Samantha.
Well, why did you tell her you'd go?
Because I have a deficit now. I've talked to her twice. Once I was in a cowboy hat and once I was in my bra. I'm like, freaking Annie, get your clothes on.
That's funny.
Yeah, it just wasn't very organic.
Oh, I like it. I like that line.
I would like her to see me looking normal.
Just normal.
Okay, yes, I would prefer to look amazing, but not like I'm trying amazing, just effortlessly striking.
Yeah, and she just talks about like wanting to look good. Like she's going to go to this luncheon now. She wants to look good.
Which we all do.
Which we all do. And she wants to look good to impress a woman. Like she wants to look good to impress this person who makes her feel insecure, which completely makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, I like that Carrie has insecurities. I mean, we all have insecurities. Samantha, I really think, has a lot of insecurities. I just think they're totally different than what I would have insecurities about. Samantha, I think, thinks she's super hot. And I think she uses that to cover up the fact that she's insecure as a career woman. She's insecure in her ability to maybe keep a relationship. I don't know. That's what I see.
You're going real deep with Samantha.
Well, I mean, also, she has a slight addiction to prescription drugs. No one ever deals with this, but...
So we kind of get into, like, why do you care so much? Like, why does she care so much what this woman thinks? Which does bring us to the question.
Are there women in New York who are just there to make us feel bad about ourselves? I think there's women everywhere that are...
Right. I'm going to say both yes and no at the same time. No, those women are not there just to make you feel badly about yourself. Are there people that we look at and think, wow, you're just here to make me feel badly about myself? Yeah, absolutely. I've had those moments where you go, where you look at what someone else has or what someone else has achieved or how someone else looks and it makes you feel badly. But that's not them. That is you.
Right. And there's that whole thing like we don't know what they're dealing with.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've known people, a friend of mine who's a model, who this sounds like, you know, princess problems, but it's not. And they would always say that it sucks because their whole life they've just gotten things because of the way they look. And sometimes when they get things in life, they are constantly trying to prove that they're worth it because they don't know if they're still just getting things for that reason.
Yeah, and it also...
And it made them feel like they can't really achieve anything.
And it sort of harkens back to the whole idea of the simple girl...
Mm-hmm.
That
I don't, Katie girl and the Katie girl.
And
the,
yeah. I mean, I don't know that that's a thing. Like, I think that everyone has their issues. We just don't see them.
Right.
And there are certain people you look at and you think, well, that person has it all figured out. But you don't know that person. No. Like, you don't know what they're dealing with. We get to the drawer. So Magda's cleaning up.
There's that pink comforter on Miranda's bed.
It's peach.
Someone commented on Instagram and said it was pink, #. Peachgate. So it's a new thing now, Mike.
Wow. We've started a movement.
Yeah.
The drawer. But I do sort of feel like maybe have the drawer on the other side of your bed.
Why does it matter what side of the
bed
it's on?
I don't know. I mean, because I feel like that's a little bit less access on the other side of the bed. But I guess maybe she wasn't prepared for Magda to, like, start opening her drawers.
Yeah, I don't really know, too, if that's a thing that, like, a cleaning lady does unless you ask them to. Usually with the cleaning lady, you know, you want them to do the spaces. But she's got Magda, like...
Magda's there all day.
Yeah, Magda might have her own room to do what? To take
Magda's
care.
Out of things to do at this point. She's got to get in some drawers now.
Right?
I just can't believe she opened your goodie drawer. I mean, everybody knows the nightstand is private.
And we head to the spa.
I don't have a goodie drawer.
Oh, everybody has a goodie drawer. I have a goodie closet.
What I was thinking when I was looking at these background actresses that are all naked, none of them have met Thor.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, this is a casting call thing. Like, this is where, hey, are you willing to just be naked on screen as an extra?
You make more money.
You do make more money.
Yeah, you do. And
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're all just kind of laying there in the steam room.
And Charlotte is not
is
well.
That what it's, I don't think that's what it's called for women.
I'm is like, it not called a steam room? Oh,
no,
a sauna?
A sauna, yeah. Okay. I'm just thinking like...
You're always thinking about dudes in a steam
dudes
room.
Dudes in a steam room. Always on my brain.
When you're not thinking about nipple clamps.
When I'm not thinking about nipple clamps, I'm thinking about dudes in a steam room.
So Charlotte is not enjoying herself.
No, Charlotte is very uncomfortable. This happened to me once, kind of. I went to this... they have these Korean spas in New York where they are like, you can do almost everything in them. You know, they have like saunas and they have a pool and they have this, which are a thing in Korea. And one of the things is like the baths, which are just a bunch of like hot tubs, but they're fully nude. Like, I think you have to be naked. Huh. And they separate them, men and women. And if you know me, I'm like, you know, t-shirt over a swimsuit type. And I was there with all men. So I was like, this is my opportunity. And I did it. And it was a very Charlotte moment.
Wow, proud of you.
But I was also like the youngest person there by 32 years. Right. So no one, 32. I like that I picked that number.
Exactly 32.
So no one cares at all. And that's the thing too. After this episode, I was like, no one cares about anything. No one's, we're all worried about ourselves all the
time. No, it's absolutely true. I'm very Charlotte in this particular instance.
I wore my first two-piece bathing suit.
I was going to ask how your first two-piece went.
Yeah.
Elise has been on the Island of Fire for the last couple of days, performing nightly, I'm assuming. Imagine you had your show.
Yeah, I just like put a show up on the beach. No, I was just there on a vacation. And I had a hard time because I'm a 5'10" woman finding a one piece that fit me well. And I was like, maybe it's time. And you know what? No one cared. No one said anything. Well, why would they? Would they go up to you on the beach and say, hey, you don't look good in that? It's all my own shit.
It totally is true, but I'm very Team Charlotte here. I'm just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do it now. Like, not, especially now with my girlfriends.
And she talks about just not being comfortable being naked in public. And Carrie does point out they're not really in public. Like, they are in a spa and it's just women.
Oh, sweetie, who cares how you look to other women? You don't care because you have a perfect body. Oh, my God. You're deluded.
And she does. Let's be real here. But, yeah, it's just, once again, it's just that thing of... of your own personal insecurities.
Mm-hmm. And then Samantha gets out of the massage she just had and runs into Celia.
Celia, Barbara Garrick is the actress who plays this role, who had a very intense massage.
A very intense massage. Barbara Garrick's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
She had a very, very intense massage with Kevin, played by...
Christopher Sieber? Is it Sieber? Yeah.
Broadway's Christopher Sieber.
Yeah, he was Shrek. Mm-hmm. No, he was Lord Farquaad in Shrek. He was in the original Spamalot. Mm-hmm. He's done a ton of theater work. And man, oh man, this was Christopher Sieber in his prime.
Oh, you guys, Mike has a crush.
He's married. It's you know, but I mean, goodness gracious, look at that guy.
And we find out that he has, as Kevin, gone down on Celia.
Yeah, it's a weird thing for Celia to say.
Yeah.
I get that it propels the storyline, but part of it's like, Celia, girl.
Yeah, just like...
Yeah, you don't tell everybody. I feel like at that point, Kevin... Does. Yeah, Kevin's like, ugh, I have to go down on everybody now.
And Samantha's like, I don't pay for that. And then she...
And then she sees him and is like, maybe I'll pay for that.
And I also think with Samantha, which goes back to Samantha's insecurity, I think that for Samantha, sex is the one thing that Samantha should always be getting, right?
Okay.
She should always be like queen sex. So the fact that Celia got something in her massage that Samantha didn't.
Right.
She had to go out. So Samantha going back to Kevin to have him go down on her is Carrie getting all jazzed up for the women in arts thing.
Gotcha.
See what I mean?
Samantha immediately got on the wait list for Kevin's next available appointment.
Magda has performed an exorcism and replaced Miranda's vibrator
with the Mother Mary.
No, Magda. I had some troublesome thoughts just right off the bat. But then also, yeah, don't what are you doing, Magda?
Yeah, like, what are... But also, I don't think it's that outrageous. I think it's funny. Like, I don't think that it's... Like I said, there's a lot of... When I first moved into my apartment, my landlords left me all of these little glass animals throughout the apartment because they just thought I would really like them. Like, it's just... I think it's a it's an age thing, too, where it's... They don't have the boundaries of, I'm not your mother, I'm not your grandmother. I think that Magda's thinking, okay, she's hired me to come into her house. This is a woman that doesn't have a mother or a grandmother. She really needs someone to take care of her. And then we find out that Miranda does have a mother in Pennsylvania, which is where Miranda's from. We find out she's from Philadelphia.
Carrie shows up with some Manolo Blahniks.
Mm-hmm. So she said she had a religious experience at Manolo Blahnik, a nice... Yeah. Segue.
Yeah.
And
I like that she asked Charlotte, you know, her advice, which is just, or like ask her opinion, which is just, you can't afford those.
Yeah. But this is our first introduction to Manolo Blahnik for Carrie that I know.
So we were dealing with Jimmy Choo's before now. I wonder if something happened where they switched from Choo's to Blahniks.
I mean, it could have just even happened in the fashion world at that moment. I don't remember. The first time I heard about Manolo Blahnik was, though, from my friend Jenny, who was a huge Sex and the City person. And definitely what threw Manolo Blahnik into the mainstream, I feel.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's part of it. Maybe they were a bit of a sponsor. She does pull over a chair to put her bag on.
I saw that and I was like, should I write it down? Is that going to bother Mike?
It's so awful. Your bag does not need a damn chair to
sit on.
Get
one of those weird purse hooks that...
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like it's almost on purpose to, like, show Manolo Blahnik to... I feel like there might have been a sponsorship involved.
Maybe
here.
We can research this and find it out.
Yeah, we can look that up. But yeah, there's something... They're definitely putting it on display. Mm-hmm. And then it's just Charlotte sort of propping Carrie up. Carrie's not feeling good about herself. She's very nervous about the lunch. And it's Charlotte saying all the things to Carrie that Charlotte can't say to herself.
Right.
Which is very true.
Which is what I do daily.
Yeah, we all have those moments where we say to someone else, like... Why can't you see the amazing person you are? And we can never say that to ourselves.
No.
That afternoon, Charlotte faced her fear.
She does it, and a woman's like, I would kill for your boobs or something like that.
Which makes Charlotte feel good. Now, would anyone say that to someone in the spa?
I think women do. Yeah, they say it to each other often. I mean, women are actually, there's so many different kinds of boobs.
Right.
And women are very self-conscious about their boobs because boobs are so different. And every woman thinks that because their boobs don't look like the boobs that you see, I keep saying boobs, the boobs that you like think are normal, that they are wrong.
All shapes and sizes.
You are boobtiful.
So then we, we go to Samantha's super, super awkward massage.
Yeah, it was making me uncomfortable.
It's so awkward.
Well, he's like, not he's like not... even good at it. Like, he's just gently like touching her. He's not really doing anything. And then he's like, is this okay? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, ew. And then he goes like higher and higher up her leg and she's getting excited and then he doesn't do it.
Yeah, then he skips over her tour. But it's just that thing of like, if he's not going to do it, he's not going to do it. Like, you have not been guaranteed oral gratification here.
Yeah, also like, yeah, this is...
So she grabs his crotch.
He's not a sex... Yeah, that's weird.
Exactly. She grabs his crotch. We cut to her sort of getting chastised by, I suppose, the director of the spa. And she just outs him.
I know for a fact that Kevin went down on another customer, and that's why I booked the appointment.
Yeah, but also, I love that he's standing there while it happens. Like, in real life, that would never happen. Yeah, she outs him, and then he... Well, he gets fired. We find out he gets fired.
He gets fired.
But not in this moment.
Not in this moment. Now we go to the Women in Arts luncheon, where Samantha is quite graphically describing what happened to her.
Mm-hmm. You can't just randomly go down on one person and not on another. I paid good money expecting to be eaten out.
And I love Carrie's assertion of, this is not the conversation I wish to be having as my most fabulous self.
Right.
Because Samantha's not being quiet.
No.
Like, the women around her, like, looking, she's talking very loudly.
They go there to check in, and Carrie's name is very low on the list.
Very low on the list. She hasn't been there in a while. They I do like that she says that Wendy Wasserstein and Gloria Steinem are there. That's a fun combination.
We find out that Natasha will not be there.
She's not going to be there, but I do like the inclusion that everyone has to wear a name tag because there was an unfortunate incident involving Joyce Carol Oates. And I don't know what that incident would be, but I think it's...
Who is
like
Joyce Carol Oates?
She's a writer.
Okay.
So yeah, Natasha is not there.
Natasha's not there.
Let's let it go, all right?
I paid $85. We're having our two drinks. What do you feel like?
Loser on the rocks?
Which I think is Mike's new signature.
I'm a winner on the rocks.
And then as they're sitting at the table, the woman asks Carrie if she wants to, like, speak to children about writing. And Carrie's like... It's just a very, you can tell Carrie's bitter because she's like, I'm a sex columnist. Do you really want that for kids?
Well, I will say that Carrie is not behaving as her most amazing self.
No, at all.
We did have a moment where we get away from this scene where we cut to Miranda confronting Magda and saying,
that's
like,
right. I have a mother.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a mother at home in Philadelphia.
And she just kind of stand up to her. It's a short scene, but just sort of her asserting herself, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go ahead and let's lay some groundwork.
I drink coffee and have sex and buy pies and enjoy battery-operated devices. If you can't deal with that, I will find another housekeeper who can.
We meet Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna, Heather Goldenhirsch.
Samantha has met Jenna, who was a former roommate of Natasha 10 years ago, to get some scoop.
Yeah, to, like, get the
dirt.
Only
thing interesting about this is that haircut on Jenna. It's very Carol Burnett, like, 1962. It's a very similar look.
Go ahead, Jenna. Tell her what you told me.
Okay, well, Natasha lived in my dorm freshman year at Tulane, and once she showered with a guy in the community bathroom, and she gained like 10 pounds sophomore year.
None of it's very juicy.
Yeah, it's like...
Also, 10 pounds on a 5'10" woman is not really that big of a deal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So it does not make her feel any better.
No. Carrie's like...
Samantha tried.
You're being shallow.
Samantha really thinks that she's helping, though.
Yeah.
She looks very... She's like, yes, I look at this information I got for you. I've done good here. As we're leaving, we happen upon... We see...
Celia.
Celia again, who is there with Katie and Liesl.
Katie and Liesl, who also use Kevin's services.
Or did.
And then they're like, that's the bitch that got Kevin fired. So we find out Kevin got... Did they say bitch? I don't know,
but they do. One of them does say, who's going to fuck me now?
Kevin fucked you?
So to be clear, Kevin was not giving everyone the same service.
Mike, wasn't that your away message on AOL Instant Messenger for a while?
It still is.
Oh. It's still up there. It's like Madonna Mike 2334. I don't know, but that sounds like it should be your screen name.
Turns out I wasn't the kind of member those women in the arts really needed.
We get to Miranda at home. I mean, just like two horrible, horrible puns in a row. The second one involving like if maybe she's not making pies, but she's making guys. Like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Magda like told Miranda she needs to make pies and left her a rolling pin. And then we find out as they're shopping, she asks Carrie if Carrie has a rolling pin. And she's like, no, I put clothes in my oven. Which,
yeah, she uses her oven for storage.
That always, you know, it gets me. Fire hazard.
Yeah. Magda realized that while single women in New York never make pies, they sometimes make guys.
Yeah, and it's just sort of, she's arranged her condoms to look pretty.
Yeah, she's given her like a Trojan lazy Susan or something.
I don't really get it. But I guess it's a compromise, I suppose. And then we get to our final moments where Carrie has sort of just like come to peace with the fact that Natasha's going to make her feel insecure until she reads the note.
Right, she got
the
a
nice
thank you
handwritten
card.
Thank you card from Natasha.
But you can write a thank you card, Carrie. You're a writer. I write thank you cards.
Right.
I think it's a very nice thing to do.
But she's used the wrong there.
There, yeah. Wish I could have been there. And she writes
T-H-E-I-R. I have a very, very specific memory of watching this episode with my then roommate in New York, who I did not know very well and did not know for very long, who was very offended by this moment. Thought that it was very rude of Carrie to then call her an idiot. I'm going to just assume this roommate didn't know which there was appropriate and was taking it a little personally.
Yeah. Your roommate was an idiot. I'm just kidding.
I don't have anything nice to say. Well, you know what? This person got me to New York, so I will always be grateful for that. She also broke the lease like a week later and left me homeless.
I hope she's not listening to this.
I do not care. Anyway. So there you go. That's the episode.
I didn't have a ton. I think it was kind of ish a filler episode. Like, what I think was supposed to do was introduce us to Magda and let us know that Big and Natasha were married.
Yeah. And I think
Samantha didn't have much.
Yeah, Samantha just has the little storyline.
Charlotte didn't really have much.
Yeah, they all have their little storylines. But I do like that they each had a scene with Carrie. So that, I mean, I like it. You're right. I mean, we didn't cover a lot of territory. But no. It mostly was Carrie. Like, it's mostly like a Carrie-centric episode.
To find out that Carrie does have some
insecurities.
As we all do.
As we all do. So that's it. We'll be back next week. Oh, I think that next week we have a very interesting guest star. And that's all. Not on this show,
was
but on
Cher?
The show. No, but you're not completely off base.
Is it Rosie O'Donnell or Meg Ryan?
It is not.
Madonna.
Wouldn't that be fun? Once again, you're in the right arena, so to speak.
So Cher, we'll be back next Madonna, week. Barbara Streisand, Charo.
There you go, Charo. See you next week when Charo joins us.
Bye. Bye.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. Join us next week for Boy, Girl, Boy, Girl.
And also, I really like Annie, Get Your Gun.
I saw it once. I saw it with Bernadette Peters when I first moved to New York.
Name dropping.
But I mean, I didn't like go see it with her. She was in the production.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're like... wiener can look, I like saying wiener now, your wiener can be like different sizes, but they're not like different shapes.
I don't know.
I mean, yes, but like there's curving and things, right. But they're not gonna, it's not gonna be like, you have a pancake wiener. You have a perfectly round wiener. You have a tubular wiener.
So there you go. That's the episode.
You have a perky wiener.
Elise just wants to talk about wieners.
Your wiener. Someone is trying to get into Mike's house.